Welcome to We the People. We've all grown up, at least those of us who are of a certain age, seeing first Yes Minister and then its Indian adaptation G Mantri G. If you believe satire and if you believe Sir Humphrey Appleby, then well, bureaucrats are just empty vessels into which politicians pour their wisdoms in. But is that really the case? The bureaucrats and the civil service used to be known as India's steel frame. Now, increasingly, critics of the bureaucracy are calling it the rubber frame of India, implying thereby the propensity within bureaucrats to crawl when they're asked to bend. On We the People today, we're looking at whether the steel frame of India is still holding the spine of India and is it in fact standing upright for itself. That's the program today. Let me start with former Cabinet Secretary T.S.R. Subramaniam, if I may. There is a strange competitiveness that takes place between bureaucrats when they retire and politicians at any given time.
When they don't retire.
Sorry?
They don't retire.
Who doesn't retire?
Politicians.
Politicians don't retire.
And also many bureaucrats.
Bureaucrats also never retire. So then I must start by asking you, are you retired today or not?
I am very, very busy, but I made it a point never to enter a single government office the day I retired. I have stuck to my promise for the last 15 years.
Okay. That's good to hear, but it makes you rare, doesn't it?
To some extent, but then there are a very large number of people who are very, very active after retirement. Not necessarily in anybody's service. I felt too proud to work for any private sector company or any other agency.
Why too proud? You didn't feel too proud to work for the government of India, but you felt too proud to work for a private sector company. Why is that?
I didn't work for any minister. I thought I worked for the Constitution of India. I thought I worked for the people of India. And I felt very proud. And I worked without a profit motive. If I go to a private sector, the only thing that will be in my mind is how to make a profit. I did not find that the correct thing to do. Every minister today, I know on nearly first name basis, though they may not remember me as much as they did a few years back. But then I made it a point not to go and see anybody now. But what is your question, Barka?
The question is, you seem to suggest that you worked for the people of India.
I did.
And you feel that it would not be right now for you to go and work for some private sector. But statistics show that an increasing number of bureaucrats are doing exactly that. And they're not even finishing their tenure before they do it.
Why do you think the market has increased? Right, for the last, I can talk for the last 50, 60 years of personal experience.
Yes.
In the first 4 to 5, 10 years, people don't like the cadre, they quit. Or South Indian going to Tamil Nadu, he quits, etc.
Yes.
After that, there is a stability. Then at the joint secretary level, a lot of people become shaky and they find it's a good chance to quit in the 40s. Then the selection becomes fierce from the joint secretary to additional secretary to secretary. Mm. 1 in 10 makes it. Anybody I know who has a decent chance of making it will never quit. Otherwise, they make an assessment at that time, see if an opportunity arises, and then play.
You're saying something very interesting. You're saying only those who believe they will not make it to the top.
This is my conviction.
Quit.
This is my conviction.
Is that what you're saying?
When I say top, not necessarily very top. A level of secretary to government.
But you know, there was an RTI filed recently by somebody to see how many IAS officers had left in the last 10 years. And they found 181 had left.
6,000 cadre.
And there are over 3,000, the shortfall of over 3,000 officers in the IAS and IPS alone.
Because recruitment is small, but it's a cadre of 6,000. I don't think that's an issue today.
Okay.
But the first one you raised is an issue as to do people still work for the people? That's a good question.
So the first thought we've heard on the program today is that you believe that only those who feel they're not going to make it to the top leave the IAS? And secondly, you have a problem with bureaucrats who leave government and join the private sector.
No.
You have a problem with it?
No, it's their choice.
It's their choice, but you wouldn't do it.
I didn't do it. Or consciously, I didn't do it. Not because of lack of opportunity, but I didn't do it.
Okay. We've heard from somebody who's retired as cabinet secretary, which is indeed the highest that you can reach. Harshvardhan, you resigned for an entirely different reasons. You quit the service after the Gujarat riots of 2002. But before that, I remember as a young reporter interviewing you in the interiors of India, and you were also famous as one of those district magistrates who would get transferred routinely. Is transfer a punishment? Is that one of the reasons, contrary to what Mr. Subramaniam is saying, that people quit? They just get tired of political interference.
I think the generalization that Subramaniam made is not entirely true. I think that people who, I know very idealistic people,
they do.
A very young colleague of mine who was my student decided about 2 months ago to quit. And I know he was one of the most idealistic and finest people. He just also completed his PhD from LSE, and he just felt that things were really mediocre. He was facing many blocks.
Yeah.
Well, I think people quit for many reasons, but I wanted to go into something more fundamental. You talked about the steel frame.
Is it still the steel frame?
I think that it is not, and that is the problem. When they were deciding the constitution makers, and we had a fully elected government at the center, we had a fully elected government in the states. We decided not to have a fully elected government in the districts. That's where the IAS mostly operates. And it's an interesting choice that they made. And that is where the question of the steel frame came in. I mean, there was the history of partition. There was the expectation that politicians, social organizations would raise communal passions, caste passions. This would be, you know,
countered in a sense, or offset by the district magistrate.
By the district magistrate, who would be free, would be fair, impartial. I feel that in the first decade or two, they did it quite substantially. But something like a moment like Gujarat or the 1984 riots shows moments where so profoundly have we failed to fulfill that duty.
So what I'm hearing from you is that the district magistrate or the collector, as it was imagined, was meant to be the counterfoil to the politician, and in an increasingly politicized bureaucracy, or a bureaucracy that's open to political influence, that's no longer happening. Now, before I come to other bureaucrats or former bureaucrats on this panel, I have two very interesting people in front of me. They've been bureaucrats. Now they're politicians. N.K. Singh and Dr. Ajay Kumar. N.K., let's start with you. So this move to politics, how has it been for you personally, and how different is it to be on the other side of the trenches?
Well, I think it's quite different. certainly, I think that initially when I came to the Rajya Sabha, I found that many of my colleagues in the Rajya Sabha told me that I should stop being so deferential to ministers, because I was really now their colleague and not exactly, and therefore really I should be more natural of what they really behave. But I think that the two important points which have been made, I'd like to really address that. One is the point that yes, it is true that in the initial years, given the fact that you had homogeneous governments at the center and the state, made a qualitative difference in firewalling the bureaucratic institution from excessive political interference. That has got eroded given the volatility and the dynamics of the politics. And that really has made me question very often to myself or whether in this context we need a permanent bureaucracy in the manner in which it was conceived initially.
You're saying bureaucrats should be able to be
fired? And I think that therefore...
Are you saying bureaucrats should be able to be fired? Because currently they can only be fired by the President of India.
I really go on to suggest that if we cannot firewall this institution from excessive political interference, we may look at lateral entries, which are far more aggressive. We can even look at a variation of what the American system is, that bureaucrats come committed to the government in office and leave when that government leaves. This particular hybrid institution which we have today, yes, it is an important force of stability. It has some value. But I think we need to make fundamental changes. We need to act on many important recommendations of successive administrative reforms committee, all of which have gathered dust.
Two interesting proposals right there. Don't make it a permanent job, directly recruit, exit with the government of the day.
Yes, provided we convert our system from a British model of adversarial democracy to an American model elected president. But coming to his last point first, starting from Santhanam Committee, 1962, 30 commissions have made recommendations. There are three recommendations which have been repeated 25 times. Those have not been met today, and we are now looking for new reforms. Santhanam talked of Lokpal, Santhanam talked of fixed tenure, Santhanam talked of scientific management of the cadre. Santhanam talked of relative political insulation of the cadres. Talked of no telephonic instructions, everything in writing, because we are not doing Ghar Ka Kaam. One last point. We are a democracy. I don't think the IAS or the bureaucracy deserve the kind of attention that you are giving it here, frankly. Because This is supposed to be run by people like N.K. Singh, because they have failed in their job.
Run by people like Subramaniam. It has been run by people like Subramaniam.
I actually beg to differ, sir. I think it deserves even more attention, because in many ways, what happens with politics happens in the public eye. You know what's going wrong, you know what's going right, you have outcry, you have demands for reform. What's really happening behind the scenes? Ajay Kumar, you've won 3 hats. You have been an IPS officer, you have been a doctor in the private sector, and now you're an elected politician. That's 3 hats. What would you say?
You know, first of all, I'm in a job, two professions which I fundamentally believe the people dislike, which are the bureaucracy and the politician. So yeah, experience from both sides.
And they might dislike doctors soon too, but anyway.
And one is Mr. Subramanian's comment of serving the country. And I have a huge disconnect, because I think guys like Narayan Murthy serve much more in terms of let me complete. Yeah. What I'm saying is the arrogance to take over and say that we serve and the rest don't is itself. What I'm saying, sir, is when you said you didn't join the private sector, so the issue of serving the country comes in very forms. But I just want to say that I'm on a political. I come from Jamshedpur and I see the awful governance. You know, something as mundane as getting your caste certificate, getting your ration. So we talk about recommendations, committees. As a political person on the ground, the fundamental delivery, sir, as a government servant, I used to be in the police, take an example of registering FIR. Nobody needs a recommendation from
a
committee.
May I play devil's advocate here and say that does the private sector ever serve the people in as excruciating circumstances as a district magistrate operating in a Naxal area?
Barka, my constituency is Naxal affected. 11 of my mocks are, so as a politician I serve. I'm not saying who is better or not. When the civil servant says that, oh my God, we are so much challenged, I keep asking that the 90% of the misery of the people in this country are not getting your passport, not able to register an FIR. You don't need committees for that. You just need the civil servants to deliver on honestly and commit. And that's not rocket science. I meet 20 people, I don't see the district magistrate, the Supreme Police able to meet the public, you can't get in. So if you're going to say that, they are good people, I'm not saying they're all of them are bad. But the reality is it doesn't take much to deliver on basic services in this country.
You're saying there's a Maibab culture and it hasn't gone away.
Patronage and,
one line
and
then Srivatsa and then Gurcharan. Yes, there's a point there.
The point has validity, but the response to that is that I think, for instance, in the state of Bihar, last year we enacted something called the Grievance Redressal Act and the Right to People Act, which prescribes the kind of things where people come and interface with the bureaucracy, prescribe a time limit, entail a penalty. The chief minister has toured the state in the last 6 months to find out how much of that has been implemented. There's a huge quantum change which this has brought about.
Okay,
so I think improving governance and leadership is crucial, which really cannot be overlooked.
Srivatsa Krishna, as somebody who's an IAS topper, you go on, you do work at Harvard, you're now an IAS officer on sabbatical. You're hearing two different philosophies here. One is Mr. Subramaniam's, who says somehow he felt that after serving the people, the private sector wasn't quite right in that value system. The other is Ajay Kumar, who's saying that hang on, in this India, the Narayan Murthy does more for the aspirations of the people than the collector Sahib, who is like a local Raja and is an obstacle between the people and development. How did we come to this point?
But I think I'm one of those who believes that the distribution of honesty or dishonesty is not specific to a profession.
Yeah.
So if anyone is going to say that only the bureaucrats are honest and all the other sets are dishonest, all the other sets are honest, that's far from the truth. Point number one. Correct. Point number two, I beg to differ with Mr. N.K. Singh's solution for the problem. We cannot correct one part of the system by introducing a spoils bureaucracy with all other parts of the same system remain where they are. I dread to think, even today, I challenge anyone in this room to report to a Pappu Yadav or a Suresh Kalmadi and produce a Narayan Murthy-like result. Would you be able to do that? Would you report to anyone other than a Pranoy Roy and produce the kind of magic that you do on TV?
But I never advocated a spoiled system. I think
you have misunderstood me completely. I have never advocated a spoiled system. All I'm saying is the IAS and the IPS do a tremendously good job in very difficult circumstances. There is no gainsaying the fact there is enormous corruption today in the system. There is enormous arrogance and there is enormous intellectual dishonesty.
Yeah.
They need to be addressed. But in the current environment, in very, very hard circumstances, take the Election Commission. The Election Commission is one institution which has always been manned by the IAS or the Indian Legal Service. They work without political interference. And we don't give them enough credit for upholding our democracy.
It's a good example, and I'll come back to you, Enki, for a clarification. But Gurcharan, red tape in our country, it's now become fashionable to use red tape and bureaucracy as interchangeable, almost synonyms. Is that fair?
Well, you know, I come from a family of bureaucrats, so I can speak freely and not, have a problem with that. But frankly, no single institution in India has disappointed us as much as the bureaucracy. You mentioned red tape. You know, it takes 89 days to start a business in India, when it takes 2 days in Scandinavia, 2 days in US, 2 days in Canada, 2 days in Singapore.
Why is that the bureaucrats' fault?
They are manning, they have created the system. The file goes from a dealing assistant to a section officer to a deputy secretary, undersecretary, joint secretary, secretary, minister. Then it goes back the same way in a day of computers.
Gurcharan, may I come in for a minute? The US, for instance, where I worked in the government and in the World Bank, has 7,561 government servants for 1 lakh of population. India, central and state put together, is at a measly 1,257. I'm all for transactional efficiency, but there's a huge numbers issue here, which you're sweeping under the carpet.
You know,
yes, there is a shortfall, but here's my question. Why don't as many people want to join? Why do more people want to leave? Why aren't you getting the same kind of people you used to get once? That's the real crisis.
Yeah, I'll tell you why. You do not reward performance,
correct,
and you do not punish failure.
Absolutely.
You do not punish the bad guys. What you have is a system of seniority, which is a recipe for mediocrity.
You reward failure.
And so,
do the other way around.
Yeah, yeah, okay. What, you get my point. That you have a recipe for mediocrity, and therefore, if you,
whose
you know, everybody gets
whose
promoted in
whose
7 years.
Fault whose fault is it? Ask TSR. Gurcharan, whose fault is it?
Whose fault is it?
You know,
the
you
boss?
Talked about the Santhanam Committee.
The Santhanam Committee
yeah. proposed this long ago, a merit-based system of promotions.
Okay. You are saying that there is a problem, but it's a politician's
don't
fault.
Don't blame the horse.
Yes.
You have got the best horse. Today, the UPSC is one agency which is not questioned in terms of its integrity. And given the vast expansion of job opportunities, the quality in the IAS has not fallen. The problem is this wonderful bunch of people, who I think are as good as any in the world, is being rottenly used in the system.
But here's somebody, if I can just get Professor Nalapath in for a moment. Professor Nalapath, in one of your columns on the bureaucracy, you said that the Indian civil service is neither Indian in conception, nor is it civil, and I don't know what you think about his service. So is it really that bad? Because the debate here is not about the problem, but about who is the root of the problem.
Yeah, Barkha, the root of the problem comes from the fact that we changed the flag in 1947, but we didn't change the laws, we didn't change the system, we didn't change the mode of administration. So we have a so-called democracy in which you have got absolutely colonial powers of the bureaucracy. And, you know, what Mr. Subramaniam is, you know, his, what other some may call it arrogance. The reality is, today the civil servant controls every aspect of life in this country. The Indian citizen.
You're saying the Babu has too many powers?
Absolutely. The private
too many
citizen.
Powers.
I mean, I can tell you there are 600 and odd ways.
Are you laughing in agreement? In agreement?
No. No. 40 years back. 40 years back.
There are some 600 ways in which a perfectly innocent person can be sent to jail by one of something like several thousand bureaucrats. And then you face the court process,
okay,
which goes on for eternity.
So we have two thoughts here on the table. One is, it's the politician that's the problem. The other is, it's the bureaucrat that himself is the problem.
No, Barkha.
There's a third formulation, and I've got Jayant Kriplani also waiting. What's your third point?
I think the more fundamental problem is that for a poor person in rural India and small town India, the most critical person is the bureaucrat. And we're really looking for people of courage, of convictions, of compassion, of integrity.
So would you agree with NK that it's time for lateral recruits? Forget the UPSC.
I feel you've got to make them work. Also, the civil service will come out of the larger society which we have created. Therefore, my formulation is that the crisis of the civil service, I mean, today we are trying to create laws to guarantee your right to food, that in a communal riot people will do their duties, otherwise they'll be punished. 20 years ago it was felt that morally you would be bound to do these things. I think that the
one
problem
short
is,
comment.
Is a larger social problem,
okay,
of which
one
the
short
bureaucracy
comment. Short, because I've just
one short comment. You are not posing the issue. we are now 60 years into democracy. In 60 years, supposing a company fails, losses every year, will you blame the chaprasi? Will you blame the doorman? Will you blame the manager? Will you blame the same board is there? The same chairman is there. 60 years, if the system has not been changed, who is to change? Who is the boss of India?
Okay, now before we talk a little more, we were talking about Yes Minister. And then we had G. Mantriji, which was the Indian adaptation. Jayant Kriplani played the Babu in these series. Before we get him in, I just want to play an excerpt to jog our memory. If we can play this little excerpt on the relationship between the Babu and the Neta.
ये लोकल लेवल पर जो फजूल खर्ची हो रही है उसे तो हमें रोकना चाहिए
मंत्री जी नगर निगम वालों को भी लोकतांत्रिक तरीके से चुना गया है अब आप उनसे जनता की सेवा करने का अधिकार नहीं छीन सकते
अरे भाई मैंने तो देखा है कि ये ज्यादातर अपनी नेतागिरी का रौब झाड़ने में या इधर उधर की उल्टी कमाई का जुगाड़ करने में बिजी रहते हैं
फिर तो उन्हें लोकसभा में होना चाहिए ताकि वो देख सकें कि डेमोक्रेसी कैसे चलती है
अरे देख तो मैं इन सबको लूंगा है मेरे पास इनके लिए एक प्लान मैं उसको कहता हूँ फेलियर स्टैंडर्ड
क्या
अरे भाई यदि निर्धारित समय सीमा के तहत वो प्रोजेक्ट जो है कंप्लीट नहीं होता तो फिर वो प्रोजेक्ट जो है बंद किया जाए और वो उसकी जिम्मेदारी उस अफसर को दे दी जाए और वो सारा प्रोजेक्ट उठा के फिर जो है किसी प्राइवेट पार्टी को दे दिया जाए मेरा तो ये मानना है कि डिस इन्वेस्टमेंट इज द ऑर्डर ऑफ द डे
मंत्री जी ये खतरनाक आइडिया आपको किसने दिया
भाई हमको भी मिल ही जाता है कहीं ना कहीं से आइडिया इस डिपार्टमेंट में से मिल जाता है
मंत्री जी मैंने पहले भी आपसे आग्रह किया था कि डिपार्टमेंट में लोगों से बात करना खतरे से खाली नहीं है
आप ही ने कहा था कि भाई हमने बड़ी मेहनत से आपको ये अर्बन डेवलपमेंट और डिसइन्वेस्टमेंट का एडिशनल चार्ज दिलवाया है
लेकिन मंत्री जी आपको कुछ करने की जरूरत पड़ेगी ये मैंने नहीं सोचा था और वैसे भी पहले भी आपने कुछ किया तो नहीं
माथुर साहब ये प्रपोजल दरअसल मेरा प्रपोजल इतना अच्छा है कि मैं इसको फौरन इम्प्लीमेंट करना चाहता हूँ
मंत्री जी अगर आपको कुछ करना ही है तो मेरे पास एक आइडिया है तो वोटों की बारिश होगी सर
मुझे कुछ सुनना ही
वोटों की बारिश
All right, the Neta and the politician quite complicit there. We can have Jayant Kriplani up there in our screens. Mr. Kriplani, you have been hearing this whole discussion. Go ahead with your thoughts.
I've been tuned into what you guys are saying over there. I have really just two things to say. One is that the bureaucrat, by definition, is not a very spontaneous person. All right? He's got to take his time. Like, as a bureaucrat, I'm not going to leap across a table and propose to you. Barker, you know, marry me or I will kill myself. I won't
try
do that.
Try it.
As a bureaucrat, it's too spontaneous a thing.
Okay.
The second thing that is very important to remember is, you know, all you guys are talking about the private sector and people going over to the private sector from the bureaucracy. I just want one private sector senior guy to go and spend 1 week in the bureaucracy working there. He'll be sitting on the floor crying because he won't be able to do their job. They do their job. However badly it is, this damn country works. Of course I'm upset with what happens, but it works. Somehow or the other, the trains get from one place to the other. There are those little white things with numbers on them all along the way. Who's doing this? Not the private sector guy, pal.
Okay. I want to actually take this to Ajay Kumar. What Jayant Kriplani is saying is, with all its faults, with all its warts, the bureaucrats are what's still holding the country together.
See, Barka, look at the low level of expectation. If you look at Singapore, they got a government. So we are saying that, oh, by God,
we're not as easy to govern as Singapore.
It's not true. Because you have models of good
Singapore
governance.
Sorry,
Jayant, what are you saying? Jayant?
You know, everybody uses Singapore as an example. It's about as large as my thumb, yaar.
Exactly.
Let's take an example. Barka, let's take an example of Scandinavia. But Barka, you know what? It's very interesting for the audience like us to say, you don't stand in the line to get your ration. You don't stand in the line to get your ration card. And Mr. Kriplani, with all due respects, you go to a district in India, and Mr. Mandar, and be a common citizen, try to get an FI registered. And then we have the sitting here and saying...
Sir, long before the country was born, I was a common citizen.
I want
don't
to ask
tell
you,
me how these things operate.
Mr. Kriprani, for God's sake, I spent 10 years as a civil servant, so don't lecture me on governments. The other issue is...
Let's move on.
Mr. Kriprani, you've made your point.
As in many things, what is true,
and the opposite is also
true.
He's saying that the civil service works and we have some really heroic, good people who are doing it. But there are problems. So I think that's what we're saying.
Nobody's saying that. But the attitude, fundamentally, nobody's questioning it. There are guys like you. But first issue is, let's try registering an FIR. You try getting a UID card.
Dave, let me interrupt here and let's be productive and let's say what are the chief problems before the bureaucracy today and who is responsible for those problems? One line and then Srivastava Krishna. Yes.
You know, when 4 out of 5 members of the bureaucracy are rated between very good and excellent, if any organization has that sense of self-complacency, you have a recipe for failure. So here are these good people who are hired at an early stage in life. They get destroyed. And then they rate themselves 4 out of 5.
Who destroys them?
Well, that's the thing.
That's the issue.
They are all idealists when they join. Most of them I see in Missouri.
I have a young man sitting to my right.
15 years of service, they have become world-wise. They know how not to get transferred. Huh. They know how to make the most of the system. A large number of them who want to stand out, they do Sudoku at home. They have no job whatever to do. That's the system.
There are two different assessments here. And I actually have to my right a young, bright person who was an IAS officer and then left within 3 years. And we're going to ask him in a moment why he did that. But Srivastava Krishna and N.K. Singh, here's the question. Two different worldviews. One which sees the bureaucracy as part of India's problem, not part of its solution. The other says it isn't the Neta, it isn't the private sector, it is the Babu who's running the country.
Fundamental point is, what is the problem today? There's corruption, there's no decision making. The symptoms are what Gurchanan is talking about. I ask him, in Procter & Gamble, 10 years after you took a decision, will the CBI come knocking at your door on day one for a genuine cabinet decision which you implemented and raid your house? For no fault of
yours.
Fair
question.
Today you have a system where honest civil servants are scared to take decisions because you have these extraordinary systems of accountability from the outside. All accountability to processes, none to results.
And I want to put that to NK because you've been both. You've been a bureaucrat and you're a politician today. And what is being suggested here is that the bureaucrat is paying for executing what the politician asks him or her to do.
Well, I think that there is merit in what Srivatsa is saying. You know, Barkha, there used to be a big joke in the Ministry of Finance when banking decisions were really getting very delayed in terms of ordinary banking decisions. And it was said that as long as you have the 3 C's, how can a bank official take a decision? The Central Vigilance Commission, the Central Bureau of Investigation, and the Controller and Auditor General of India. And I think that, really speaking, bona fide decisions being questioned in a retrospective way is certainly something which will promote and foster lack of decision-making. But where Gurcharan is right, you know, Gurcharan, when you ask this question that it takes 94 days or whatever to start a business, let me give you a terrible example of that. Do you know, for instance, how many labor laws exist in this country? Altogether, there are 147 central and state laws.
Yeah.
When were they conceived? Many of them have outlived
but
their
utility. But that's Professor Nalapath's
we
point.
Are perhaps
a colonial
over-legislated and under-governed country.
We are worried about the 94 days it takes to start an industry. How difficult it is to be a street vendor.
Well,
how difficult it is to run a rickshaw.
Yeah,
a rickshaw is much, much more a matter of concern. And the second question is really, I just wanted to say, was that, you know, when I was in Missouri, the first lecture I would give, I was on the faculty, would be the right and a duty of a civil servant to dissent and say that your duty is to act by your conscience and disobedience is perhaps your highest duty. And I think that we need to reclaim...
That's an interesting point.
We need to reclaim a space where we respect civil servants, their
who
exercise
dissent.
Of their conscience.
Can I, TTSR, give me just a minute. We have here R. Rangarajan. Now, he was among the lucky or the talented few. The talented, 100. Not the lucky, but the talented few who got it. But you chose to leave after 3 years. Why?
Two things. Well, I mean, this is a question that I asked myself a lot of times before I quit. And this is the question that a lot of people ask me whenever they meet me first. There are people who understand it and appreciate it and approve it. And there are people who are just flabbergasted. And most of the former category are people in the service.
Who understand why you quit.
Yeah. And most of the people who
get
flabbergasted are you know, relatives or friends or colleagues outside, in office.
So why did you quit?
Yeah. There are personal reasons in terms of I being from South India and my cadre being Northeast could have played a part. The fact that I worked in ICICI Bank before I quit and went to the service could have played a part. But those are just contributing factors because I was aware that I was getting into a service which is challenging, which requires a lot of commitment.
Did you get
disillusioned? I was aware that I was going to get paid 1/5 of what I was getting paid in ICICI Bank when I quit the service. But the disillusionment is primarily, I would like to pick from what Ajay said. I mean, he has lectured us when I was in Mussoorie. But at the ground level, for a rural person, he wants to get his ration card on time. He wants his child to go to a school where the teacher is present from 9 to 5 in the evening. He wants to go to a PhD where the doctor is present to attend to his children. And the system, unfortunately, is so dependent on the collector or the subdivisional magistrate, you know, to
you're
to
saying
look
he
up
has
to deliver.
But do you agree with Professor Nalappa that he has too many powers, or are you saying he has too many duties?
He has too many duties. Is my view. I think if the panchayat president is made to question the teacher who is not coming to school.
Can I ask you something personal? I have a personal question for
yes.
you. What was your own tipping point? Did you feel that you couldn't make the change that you thought you could? What was your own?
Yes.
That
was one of the tipping points.
You felt like a cog in the wheel.
That's true. But I'll tell you what. The fact of the matter is that, so now the present system, if an SDM goes and visits a school, that school, you can be sure that for the next 1 week, the teacher will be there on time.
Yeah.
If he goes to a PhD and visits the PhD, the next week, the doctor will be on time.
Correct.
I mean, but it is humanly impossible for a person to handle so much. Having said that, I am a great fan of the kind of work that even my batchmates are doing. There is no credible alternative at the present because the Zilla Parishad members and the Panchayat members are either people who have been denied the MLA ticket or people who are aspiring for the MLA ticket.
Okay, you made a lot of different points. And to you, Professor Nalappath, and then Srivasa Krishna, and then I've got to take a break. You said that the bureaucrat has too many powers. He says the bureaucrat has too much to do.
No, I fully agree with that. And the fact of the matter is that today we are getting more and more complex in terms of the requirements, the science, etc. Now, you have a bureaucrat who deals with fish 1 year.
Correct.
Next year, he goes to cattle and livestock. And the third year, he goes to human beings. And the fourth year, God alone knows what he is supposed to do. Now, even a genius, and I would like to say I got a very high regard for my friend TSR, but nobody can handle that kind of a complexity of issues, especially the way it is developing scientifically. Secondly, today you've got modern systems. You've got internet kind of systems. In Hong Kong, for example, you can get all your work done on the internet.
Quickly,
you
got to take a break.
You don't meet a government servant at all.
Barkha, even today in the corporate sector, pick the country of your choice, the top management or the general management cadre. The general manager should not be so arrogant as to not take inputs from the specialist. But the CEO, who is the CEO of Boeing, Alan Mulally, he moved to Ford from an aircraft company to an automobile company. He's still a general manager. So I beg to differ on that. He certainly needs input.
But not year to year. But not year to year. His point is, even to year.
Exactly.
5 years here, 5 years here.
Exactly.
But the fundamental issue, which I think Harsh touched upon, is I want to make a statement of
fact
here. I'm the only guy in the service who has a full MBA from the Harvard Business School. I chose to stay here. I get offers which are $1 million, $1.5 million, but I don't take it simply because it's the only job in the country where you can say no to your boss on an issue of substance, stand up and
Amen.
Say...
I agree with you.
Okay.
I agree with you.
You will not lose your job.
I agree
Yet
with you.
You will not
okay,
lose your job.
Absolutely.
So everybody is agreeing. I've got to take a break. Lots of points being made here. Do enough bureaucrats stand up and say no?
Yeah.
If they don't, what's changed? And on the other side of the break, should the bureaucrat exit with the government of the day? And should the job really be for life? All these points coming up after a short break. On We the People today, we are looking at the anatomy of a bureaucrat. Before we return to our panel, let's take some questions from the audience.
My question is to Srivas Krishna, sir. Sir, what about the abduction, life threat, and the huge political pressure? How can we withstand that? And should we really put nation before us?
Terrific question, yeah.
Yeah.
I'll give you two examples. R.K. Raghavan, the man who heads the SIT in Gujarat. Very few people know this. He guarded the body of Rajiv Gandhi unarmed all night. I ask you, which guy from ICICI or Procter & Gamble will do that when there's a mob ravaging around
but this,
you?
But he's from ICICI, yes. And the IAS. Now
no,
what?
I'm saying that there are people
Tell us about it.
Lakshmi Narayana is today taking on Gully Janardhan Reddy, a threat to his life and his family. I was transferred 6 times in one night for doing demolitions in Delhi.
If that
but
is the case.
There does come a time when you say enough. Huh. And then honesty gets defined as, I won't take money. Guy above me takes money, guy would take it.
I agree with him,
but it is increasingly difficult.
It is difficult.
Why?
It used to be relatively easy in the 50s, 70s, up to, say, the emergency period. After that, the system has become vicious. Now, it is much more than transfer. It is false inquiries, adverse entries, and worse. And don't ask me to define worse. I have seen that happen.
So are you saying the political class is more vindictive?
Yes, they have learned the same tricks as the bureaucrats now.
Yeah,
I served as a Supreme Police at Patna for 5 years with a chief minister like Mr. Lalu Yadav. Okay, 99% of my work was never for some wrong favor. Yeah. I can understand, and I'm not saying he didn't say something wrong. He said that. I'm saying it. But 99% of my job as IPS officer was to do just my job. One pressure from a political leader suddenly becomes the most damaging career pressure on my life. Is ridiculous. So to blame 100 interactions in a day for the common people, one in 1 year, let's imagine Mr. Lalu Yadav vindictively says, release a guy. Let's imagine for a minute. But are the civil servants not bad? And they are 20% good guys.
Is it tougher to say no today?
Of course. I don't agree with Ajay. He may have been singularly lucky. I think I entirely agree with Srivats and with TSR that it is increasingly difficult to be able to put forward a note of dissent. And that is why I think firewalling the institution and implementing some of these reforms.
So let's come to those recommendations. No one has addressed them. Should there be a fixed tenure? Should there be expertise-driven recruitment? And should the bureaucrat exit with the government of the day?
But Barkha, I want to say that it might be difficult, but it's not. It's not so difficult to justify.
No, not
you have a Rahul Bhargav, Rahul Sharma, who said in Gujarat that I will. I'll stand up and he did the right thing.
So
I got the most difficult communication in my life from one of my students who was an IAS officer, because one young man in Manipur was standing up and there were some purchases and he said I'm not going to allow a commission to be paid. They walked in and they shot him dead. And another youngster who was my student in Mussoorie wrote to me saying that you used to tell us you must do the right thing and in the end things will work out. Dashrath did the right thing and he's dead. And I wrote back to him finally saying still you have to do the right thing.
Because there's no other option.
There is no other option. You've chosen this career. We have no alibis. And there are heroes who stick by it.
Gurcharan, do we underappreciate what a bureaucrat goes through? And then I'll come to your answer.
No, I think we don't underappreciate. They are fine people. They're as good as the best.
Correct.
The system destroys them. We are ironically following a Westminster
model
which was inherited by us. But that Westminster, UK, has already reformed its bureaucracy so much. They have made great strides.
Which is
and
why
so
I want
we don't
some
have
of
to
you to address the
wheel.
Reforms that so are being suggested here.
The pressure point should not be on the bureaucrat. The pressure point is on the people who are stopping the reform.
What are the urgent changes that should be made as we wrap? A quick question here from a career counselor to young students.
Yes. It's basically we get students, and when the students come to us, we refer them out for career. And the major question they have raised, we want to earn honest man's salary. Is becoming an IAS, is an honest man's salary they would be earning with the kind of pressures they have throughout?
Ranga, why don't you take that?
For 80% of the people in this country, their immediate requirement is delivery of basic services.
Absolutely.
And I think the system is modeled in such a way where an individual, however well-intentioned and however capable he is not able to deliver it to the best of the abilities, But there has to be alternatives to ensure that that system is put in place so that the bureaucrats can concentrate
on
larger issues.
But you know, somebody like yourself, you've said you've dealt with Ulfa Kadars, Vinil Krishna, who was abducted by Maoists,
he's
my batchmate.
Yeah, so he's my batchmate.
Do people sitting here understand, in a sense? I mean, Ajit, are you being a little unfair to the Babu?
Again, I'm saying there are people who are wonderful in the system. If you step out and ask the guy who's coming in at, you know, at your studio and say, are you happy with the governance? Does the bus work? Do you get electricity? Are you living in a slum? Who is responsible?
Okay, I have a question to you. Why is the Babu only answerable? Why not the MLA? Why not the MP?
No, one side. In the hospital, take an example. My constituency, primary health center. I have never told doctors don't go there. Yeah.
Look at the states where the doctors go. There are enough states in Madhya Pradesh.
What I'm saying is, if you ever tell me that a common guy in this country has a great life with a government delivery system, I think we...
All I'm saying is, there are enough and more pockets where good work is being done.
But sir, 90%,
pockets. There are 9 corrupt officers.
Barkha,
I've got your point. I'm only asking why the politician is exempt from that accountability. But then, Professor Nalappa, the question can be turned around as well. The politician gets voted in and out. The bureaucrat doesn't. Which takes me to N.K. Singh's proposal that should we really have bureaucrats for... you know, till death do us part kind of thing. Like, literally, it is like that. Because there's an interesting suggestion here that fix the tenures. Would that work?
I think what NK says is absolutely right. Yeah. You do need lateral entry from different professions.
And you
do need a system in which people from the bureaucracy can go and to the private sector and make the private sector understand how to deal with this monster called the government. The reality of the situation is today that if you're talking about the private sector, there are clear objectives, there are clear standards of performance, and you're judged by that. In the case of the bureaucracy, we really don't see what the standards of performance are.
Okay, now are we disillusioning a probationer here? He's just about to begin his career, and we are really pouring down on his...
He must ask a question.
Well, as you said, I'm a civil servant, but whatever I say here will be my personal views. On a serious note, we are reducing the debate to we versus you debate, wherein politicians and bureaucrats, I think both are equally to blame.
Yeah.
We should have something of the sort of independent board, which is independent of the political executive, which looks after the transfers and the postings. That is one. Secondly, as Subramaniam sir said, we shouldn't have a system wherein we have post-retirement scenario, wherein people... seek plum posting. So if
too good proposal, let me take that to
regulators.
Yes, yeah. I agree entirely with him. Absolutely. This is the substance of the PL that we have. This is a country where 70% live below poverty line, where services are not being delivered. So many gaps are there. There are system problems. Do not blame A or B. There are huge... whoever is running the country has to do a lot of introspection. This is a country where a Rajat Gupta will never go to jail. And bureaucrats.
But now so many ministers are going to jail. But now so many ministers are going to jail and bureaucrats are going to jail.
No, no, no. They're on bail, not jail.
More needs to go.
All right. We've got literally 30 seconds left. Jayant Kriplani, a very quick last thought from you.
You know, somebody just said about both the government and the bureaucrats are at fault. You know, we forget the third side of the triangle, which is us. I mean, we're neither bureaucrats nor government, and I think we are at fault in the way we handle or work with the government and the bureaucracy.
I think that's a good point. This is we the people. This is the same society.
I think you're letting him off the hook.
Okay,
the fact of the matter, you're letting...
This is
the kind of answer that's not allowed to cause the reforms in this country. That's you know that Manmohan Singh, the Prime Minister, decided 6 years ago to have an appraisal system. And it was talked about, it was studied, it was a proposal was made, and then it was supposed to be implemented.
Yeah.
6 years have gone by, it's been killed. Now, an appraisal system is the starting place to produce data to measure results.
An appraisal system? Would the IAS accept it? Yes, sorry, go ahead.
What I said is this appraisal system has to be genuinely an impartial one, not a system where 5 out of 6 are outstanding and nobody is satisfactory.
Absolutely. But
which is an extraordinary way to really appraise people.
Is not a substitute for strong human character. An appraisal system is certainly required, but there are enough in the private sector, the kind of people Mr. Nalappa wants to bring into the IAS, who are today sitting in jail for various wrongs sins of commission.
So
and
you don't want lateral. So you don't want lateral recruitments.
I want lateral entry, but through a neutral process like the UPSC. But if you start bringing in neutral the kind neutral of people who are in our corporate sectors today,
Jayant is only saying one thing.
Jayant is only saying one thing to the people too are accountable.
The bureaucracy and the politicians are functioning in a society in which we participate. Corruption happens.
Which is a fair point. TSR, close the program for us.
I think we need reforms. We need one of them may be on appraisal system.
Yes.
But that I think is only 1% of the thing. The civil services are doing a difficult job, but they should be enabled to do a better job in the circumstances. But don't forget they are part of the society and they, do not question their credentials. And ultimately they are not the master, they are only servants.
They are not the masters, they are only servants. Now is that the hub of the debate or can you bring in the reform that would enable them to be their own masters? That's the question we leave you with. You have one sentence to add there?
We should be civil servants and not very civil servants. And I want to end by paying homage to Gopalakrishnan, one of the finest IAS officers who we lost to cancer. And he is an ideal civil servant, an ideal IAS officer, which many of us who are watching this show should aspire to
be. NK, close this for us.
No, I entirely agree that I don't believe it should be master and servant, because that the only masters whom we need to serve are the people of India, and I think that the entire societal change must be directed in serving the people of India better, empowering civil servants.
But will you, the politician, now agree?
The sentiment. I don't think they behave like that.
Who?
The politician.
Well, I
are
think
you wearing
that
a bureaucrat hat or your politician?
Frankly speaking, now the perception that I get, politicians are perceiving civil servants to be their masters when they go to the district. No, the biggest, so I think it's not a master-servant relationship.
I have to sadly end. I think there, like with every debate, the truth is a little bit of everything that we've said. There are some great bureaucrats, but equally it's true that there is no institution today that is free from what we call rotten apples. But there are systemic issues as well. Too many responsibilities, in some cases, no accountability. But at the same time, the point is taken that to sit here and make easy judgments about a system that we've never even entered or traversed to, many of those realities never even experienced by us, is far too luxurious. The bureaucracy can be both part of the problem and part of the solution. It depends on how much we want to shake it up as India changes. Thank you very much for watching. Thank you. Thank you, everybody.